And is this what the doctor ordered time and time again? I appreciated that. Thank you, band, Mike, Lee, Gracie, Andrew, all the parts involved in that. You guys, for bringing your hearts here. And let's just pray and ask God to bless our time here. Lord, we get down on our knees. I guess the phrase is we bow our hearts. God, we put them low, us low, and you high. Because you are the Lord. And we come before you in recognition. You are the Lord. And yet somehow you touch us to make us beautiful and new. Through the Lord, you decide what to heal, when to heal, who to heal. God, and yet we know a drop of your blood, God, makes everything pristine. God, your blood is the most powerful thing in this universe. Thank you for your blood. I thank you for you, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for the chance to gather, God, in your name. We're here in your name, and you promise that you are with us. And I praise you. I praise you for being here with you. It's a good place. God, it is right for us to be here. I pray you bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of James, if you haven't guessed. We're in James chapter 5. Oh. No wonder that didn't look right. Okay. Verse 1. We're going to read something. I feel like all James says is strong things and strong things and strong things. We're going to read maybe the strongest thing he says in the whole book. He speaks specifically to a group of people. I don't know exactly who they are, but somehow they're listening. They're there to the people this letter is being written to. And he's going to speak some really strong things. So let's read it. James chapter 5, verse 1. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourself in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who are not opposing you. That's our section for today. And I am not going to preach it like James preached it. Do this a little differently. I just have a few thoughts here today. And I just have a few thoughts on the topic of money and us, and it will generally tie in to that passage. It's my heart, just in our church and together. I
I really care about us together. I care about you guys individually. And I want us to live before God as God would have us live. As the Master would have us live. As the Bible would have us live. And what I don't want to have happen is for my heart to be deceived. I don't want anything to deceive us together. Deceive me. I don't want our culture to walk in and deceive us. What I want is God and the fullness of God. For my heart, I don't want to miss any of that. I want the fullness of God for your hearts and for us together. And so, because of that, what I want to do is just speak my heart here. I just want to speak my heart sort of on this topic. So, why don't you guys turn to Matthew 13, and I will blow my nose. The topic here is money, a little bit, obviously. It rolls into this. And I'm going to let you guys know, we haven't done a series on money here, I think, since I've been here. And we're going to do one after the book of James. So this is a little bit like an introduction to that. Although the book of James is not over, it is close. And so that's where we'll go. So we may refer back to this passage at a later time. But what I want us to do is I want to take us into the parable of the sower. I want to just read the whole thing. Matthew 13, verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables. Okay. The farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who receives the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Okay. What's the problem with the guy among the thorns? What does it say? The worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth. Deceitfulness. So I and us together, we can be deceived. I want you to think about this. Who lives in the most opulent country in the world? We do. I do. So who in all the people in all the world do you think might be the mole have the biggest tendency to be deceived? We would. It makes me think, am I and are we deceived by wealth? Are we deceived? Maybe just partially. And as I think about the weaknesses that living in America would bring, this would be one of them. And I don't want us to be unfruitful. I don't want the word in my heart to be unfruitful. And it is possible that you and me can be being choked and don't know it. That's deception, right? That's what Jesus is saying. There are phrases in James that might be us. You have lived in indulgence. You have fattened yourself in the day of slaughter. What does that mean? It means there's a time in history right now where people can make a decision. Anyone that looks to God right now in this time in history can be saved. God will pour His grace on. It is the day of God's favor right now. And anyone who does not do that will be slaughtered. These are times of the battle for souls is right in this slot in history. And in that place, with people's eternal destiny around us, He's saying, you're using your money for you just to get fat. And when I stand in front of God, I really don't want that to be true. I don't want that to be me. I don't want to have been in the place where wealth has deceived me. You know, Jesus said, we can't serve both God and money. And that verse, along with others, showed us that He showed us our biggest enemy in our heart. The biggest enemy in our heart is money. I mean, it's really interesting. Can you sense it being money? Can you sense it? And if not, I go, well, maybe we, I don't know, are we deceived? And I think about how it's the biggest enemy. And my answer is how it is the biggest enemy is trust. How nervous would you be if you didn't have any money in the bank? That's an issue of trust. Trust in God or trust in money? What is going to make sure you're okay? What is going to make sure you have a good future? God or your savings pad? Is your retirement your security? Or is God your security? I tell the students that this is the time that you'll struggle with money the least. In your season, this is not number one on the list. How you relate to the opposite sex is probably number one on your list. But everyone in the crowd's going, amen, amen. But there are places when you can sense it a little bit in your attitude, in your major. So there are students in the world, I'm not pointing any fingers, that work really, really hard because they have to get that good job. Because that is what's going to make it okay in the future. That is what they need to work because that is what they're trusting in. And this was my attitude when I wasn't a believer yet, and my attitude was there's a pie of happiness in the world. And most of the pie of the happiness in this world has been eaten up, and this world is crappy and it sucks. And there's a little bit of sliver of happiness left. And only if you're the best of the best can you go get it. And it includes wealth, it includes this, but I need to go find my own happiness. And that was my attitude. It's not wrong for students to work hard. You work hard for God's glory. You work hard as a picture. You work hard in trust of Him. Not because I'm going to go get money and money's going to take care of me. Money's going to take care of the future. I have to pick the right major so I can get money and security and then succeed in it. For all of us, what about our happiness? Is our happiness tied to having? Let me find my place here. If it is, money will get that. Right? Is my happiness tied to comfort, how comfort I am? Then money can get that. Is my happiness tied to achievement and success? Oh, money can get that. People can look at you a different way because you have succeeded, achieved financially. Money can get that. See, money can be the answer of all the idols of our heart, what we want to go and get. Money's the answer, and money's not bad. It's not bad. It's not bad. But love of money is evil. Love of money is evil. And how do we conquer that? And I want us to read a passage here in 1 Timothy. That'll give us a clue. First Timothy 6, it's on page 841, and we'll skip the longer passage on money that he talks about earlier in the chapter. And since James is talking to the rich, we'll just get Timothy's thought to the rich. Here's Timothy's thought. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. Oh, sorry. You need a verse. Verse 17. My bad. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. I think that's interesting. It is very interesting. There is no denunciation of the rich here. But there is an encouragement, a very strong encouragement, to trust God, to put your hope in God. And he goes on to say you have to use your money for the purposes of which God intended. But before we can even do that, we have to put our life in his hand. And I don't know if this lands with anybody, or if I'm saying this a way in which you can grab it. But are you holding on to anything that you have not given to God? Are you death gripping your security or your future or happiness outside of God? And if we are, we can go up and down with the circumstances of life. Right? It says here, nor to put your hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. We don't want to be up and down. You know, I can teach you. We can read the Bible and we can go, okay, this is how God wants us to use our money. Do it this way. Use it here and use it here and use it here and use it here. We can go, this is what it is. But if we haven't taken our trust and put it in God, where we are in the hand of God. I am in the hand of God, and I trust his care and his love and his goodness as a good father to me, then it doesn't matter. I can teach you all the things in the world, and your heart can't walk them out. You can't actually win those obedience things about how to use your money, because the underlying foundation isn't there. And the underlying foundation is walking into a giving over our lives, a trust of God for our life. Money is about what you want. You want God or riches, or what riches can get you. And there are things with the things our hearts struggle with, or our idols. There are places where we just need to be honest. If you look at yourself and you're honest and you go, you know what? I want riches, or what riches can give me, and I just want it. I want it more than I want God. I'm just going to be flat honest. And that's good. You're on your way to being free, because you see your honesty. And there's a way we just tell God and be like, God, I love money more than you. I love, and then put it in. What is it? I love the achievement. I love the security. I love the, I don't want to look to you. I want something sure. And I look and look because I love it. I love my comfort. I love my happiness. And name the comfort. I love my house and my car. I don't want to give it to you. And if you sense that in your heart,
than telling God. That's the first step. Money is about who or what is going to take care of you. Money is about who or what is going to make you happy. Money is about who or what is going to bring you life. But who or what is going to give you significance. Lots of things we can put in there. That's what money's about. That's why Jesus talked about it a lot. And I want to read, the last passage we're going to read is in Mark 10. It's on page 716, or I can read it. Mark 10, verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." I think this is interesting for us. This man had a heart for God. This man had somewhat of a love for God and an obedience for God. But he did not want to give his future into God's hands. He did not believe God was going to take care of him. I view myself, I view us together, I don't want there to be rich young rulers here among us. I want us together to help each other not be rich young rulers. What if there are promises from God in His Word about security and joy and significance, and they're not operational in our lives? They can't be operational because those places in our heart are already filled. Jesus is saying that when those places of security, when those places are already filled with our in our heart, it's really hard for God to come in and unseat those, and for God to be the trust, for us to trust Him. That is a very hard transfer of trust, one, because it's even hard for us to see what we're trusting. So this is what I did. This is how we're going to close. I have a bunch of verses here. I don't know what a bunch is. 8, 12. Of just verses about trusting God. And my hope is that together we can read them, that God's Word work on our hearts, and that we'd more and more put ourselves in God's hands. And next week, we'll go off to another subject, because James keeps trucking.
But we'll get a chance to come back to it later. And I want to just leave us to a place of trust, and together we can walk more and more into a place where he's our portion. So I'd like to just read them together. I won't make too many comments. We'll just read them. Whoops. Proverbs 11:28. The one who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. It seems like trusting in riches is safer, but that's not true. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. It has no worries in a year of drought because he has a bunch of money. That makes him have no worries in a year of drought. There's no worries in a year of drought because his confidence is in him. Because he has trust in God. Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. That's the key promise in this verse. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I've put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. Amazing heart. Psalm 91, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Rest. I love rest when you trust. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Psalm 73, whom have I in heaven but you? And earth is nothing I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Matthew 6, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can you sense this morning you're valuable? When God counts up what's important to Him, what's valuable to Him, that you're right there, that you're intensely valuable this morning to God. It's awesome. Awesome. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. My God will meet all your needs because you're a really good financial planner. My God will meet all my needs because how well I am at obeying. And my God will meet all my needs according to the riches of His glory. That's the according to. And I go, I would have written it differently. I like the way you write it. Better. Got it. Better. Than we think He is. 1 John 4:16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. We rely. We lean on it. We rest in it. We trust fall onto God's love. Psalm 31. How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you. And here's the last one. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. See, trust in this. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. It makes a difference. It allows freedom. That's what it allows. wants all to live in that trust, that freedom, that rest, the joy that comes from all of it. And in your heart, what often is between that freedom that you can live in, and God, that transfer of trust, the thing between it, is money. That's what Jesus said. He says it's money. And so I just want to bring that to us so we can all wrestle with it in our own hearts. Let me pray. Lord, I know for some people in here, they have already just thrown themselves onto your mercy, God, and they trust you. God, there's others of us in here, this is hard. It's real hard. God, and even all those of us that have crossed the line, go back, have to choose when things get dicey in life, that we're going to trust you. And I ask that you'd walk us more and more. We'd see you as a God that's that does lead and feed and protect and think we're valuable. I pray you'd show us who we are and lead us to trust that we would do the thing that is more rare than a camel going through an eye of a needle. We, though we have much, you've given us much, have our security and our comfort and our significance tied to you. Walk that out within us. Thank you for the chance to encourage each other toward that. Thank you for believers that want to come in here and worship you together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, there's James again. Any announcements? I figured I was going to talk to you beforehand. Go ahead.